Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insight Shir number 172. We're going to talk today about something that affects most of our lives, mostly in the working area, but in other areas of life as well, which is called the burnout phenomenon, when people get burned down. First, we're going to address the working aspects of burnout. Now, working for Parnassa is an essential in life. And it's a chiyuv hishtadlus, and the question is the balance of it, and people struggle with that. But the bottom line is that it's not unusual at all for people who are satisfied with their jobs, even if they are satisfied with their jobs, to become at points bored or burned out. So, for example, when an accountant who's been 20 years successful in a practice and just simply says, I can't live anymore adding and subtracting figures all day. And when I take out the books from my desk in the morning, I feel like it weighs a ton. Or a pediatrician, no matter successful, people who are not, doing well. But they get tired. And a pediatrician says more kids with runny noses and coughs. A mother comes in with two kids complaining for being exhausted with their constantly bickering and whining. Like, what do you want from me? I don't know how much longer I could take this daily grind. Or a lawyer. A lawyer says, I got to move to a different profession. I'm a partner in a major law firm. I'm making more money than I ever dreamed of. But I got to leave this firm. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm bored to death over here. Or a nurse. A nurse that says, and again, a successful one that normally does things very, very well. I'm sicker than all the patients in the hospital. I'm sick of guilt-ridden family members who criticize the care we give the patient. I'm sick of ego-crazed doctors who think they're God. I'm sick of patients who smoke and drink themselves to death and then insist that we cure them. There must be another way to make a living. Or an appliance store salesperson. This job is not for me anymore. People come in and want to know every detail of an appliance. They take my time, they take my energy, and they go and buy the appliance elsewhere for $20 less. 18 years of this is enough. And honestly, even in chinuch, teaching, or being a rebbe, or being a rav of a shul, there is certain levels, even if they're matzliach greatly, there are times in tekufis where you have this feeling of burnout similar to what we just described. Many people, millions of people, stay on jobs that they hate just to keep their health insurance. Polls have showed that relatively few people really feel satisfied with their jobs. And the common denominator is that people who were for years satisfied with what they were doing, developing progressive dissatisfaction. We're not talking about someone that initially, had difficulty with the jobs that they're in, or they're struggling, they're struggling in their job. We're talking about people that had made it and did pretty well, and were generally satisfied, and now it's progressively getting to a point where they just simply feel they can't do it anymore. And if you're satisfied with your job overall, and you move because of burnout and change jobs, very often it's not a wise decision. You could lose seniority. You're very close to retirement. You could lose seniority. You move to another neighborhood, you make that decision. Okay, but you could lose old friendships. Divorce, similar. The burnout, meaning you were quite satisfied. You know it could improve and you could work on these things, but you just get disillusioned because of a burnout and you leave your husband and your wife, the person you love most, all for what? Because of burnout. Very dangerous thing. It's not just the workplace, which we described till now, but you have this midlife crisis as a burnout, like we just said, pertaining to a husband who may say, I don't know what happened to the excitement of our marriage, that it fizzled. I thought when the first grandchild came along, it would rejuvenate us, but it hasn't. It's very dull. Or a college student, it's a drag going to school every day. It used to be exciting, now it's boring. So boredom with one's job or the loss of enthusiasm is in a relationship is common. Employers try to do different things to get their employees that were there for a while to hold them back from leaving because of that person being burned out. You have that. You have marriage counselors to try to investigate why a relationship that was once rich in love deteriorates. Sometimes these measures are indeed effective, but other times they don't resolve the problem completely at all. Then he says something interesting that all of you need to know. Let's pick the workforce as an example. Some things that seem like burnout, they're not burnout. It's stress, but it's not burnout. Here's an example, and I'm going to quote word for word on this one. There are undoubtedly many reasons for burnout. Having one difficult-to-please boss is stressful enough. Having two difficult-to-please bosses who don't see eye to eye and have different and even conflicting demands is much worse. Being assigned responsibility without authority or means to get it done is most stressful. Yet these in themselves are not really burnout. They are simply impossible situations. Such situations may indeed be resolved by making it clear to management that they are asking for the impossible and working with them to make the assignment possible. If this does not succeed, there may be no alternative to changing jobs. So that is a stressful situation, but that's not what burnout is. Burnout seems to be more like you were satisfied with your job, or you were satisfied with things, and now it's like little by little that enthusiasm gets lost by boredom or being fed up and so on and so forth. I didn't look at this book, but this Rabbi Tversky recommends a book called Toxic Work by Barbara Bailey Reinhold, who talks about this subject for anyone who is dealing with those type of situations. Because the truth is we have to have rachmanis on people. And I do want to basically, sometimes this is really not emphasized so much, but for a married couple, whoever it is, if they both work, then they both have those tests. If one of them works, the other one has tests at home or wherever it is in their life, raising their children. But going to work is no picnic very often. It comes with a lot of difficult challenges. And there needs to be a sensitivity regarding this. Rabbi Tversky, again, I'm very, very moved by his honesty in describing his own personal experience. You know, his father, he said, was a rabbi, but he was also a counselor for people who he used to help. So he aspired to that. When he looked to his father, he was a rabbi and he wanted to follow his footsteps in that sense. He wanted to do that, to help people. Now, his first shteller, Rabbi Tversky himself, was in 1952. After World War II, all of a sudden psychology and psychiatry rose up, and after 3 years of him being a rabbi, he realized people wouldn't consult him as they did his father. Not because they didn't think him wise as his father, but rather because the concept of counseling went over to mental health professionals, not to rabbis. So what was his job in the first 3 years of being rabbi? Performing rituals, ceremonies, and it was not his taste. He was disillusioned, and he switched careers to become a psychiatrist so that he could do more that he hoped that he wanted to do more than being a rabbi. You see here also his courage of knowing his tafkid. People would say, stay in Rabbanus, and maybe with some cases, that is the healthy thing. Stay in Chinuch, stay in Rabbanus, and so on and so forth. In some situations, you have to know yourself, you have to know your Tchumas HaNefesh, and you get Eitzes V'Drachis, and if you need to change a career, that's what you do, based on the advice, the healthy advice that you get. So here's a situation where he was disappointed when the job that he was going into failed to live up to his expectation. That's not what burnout is, though. What he just explained is not burnout. It's a certain disappointment and disillusionment that one adjusts to. Burnout is a situation where a person is or was quite satisfied with their work or with their relationship for an extended period of time. They were relatively happy in their marriage, happy in their work, happy in their yeshiva, happy with their charusa, happy with the shir, happy with the rav and the shul that he's going to. But, and for an extended period of time, happy. But over time, gradually loses interest and becomes dissatisfied. That's a good descriptive term, burnout. And the better we understand what burnout is, the more we'll be able to avoid it or correct it. He gives an example of this. Let's say a person is coasting along at 60 miles an hour and comes to a very steep hill. So he shifts his gears so he could had the power to go navigate up the hill. Once he reaches the hill and is again on level surface, he shifts back to drive gear and then travels again 60 miles an hour. But suppose upon reaching the top of the hill, he finds his gear is stuck and he can't shift to drive. The gear is suited to send a steep hill that cannot go beyond 35 miles an hour. He's not going to be able to reach his destination until much later than he planned now. And this gear, although more powerful, was only intended for short spurts. And if he drives 700 miles now in this gear, the gear will burn out. This is a similar parallel to the life situation of burnout. In developing a career, a person may have to be aggressive, for example. He gives an example that if someone wants to, at least the time of the writing of this book, he was writing maybe in the past, I don't know, but if he wants to enter medical school, there's extreme competition. There's a great difference between a 3.6 grade point average and a 3.7 grade point average that could determine your whole situation there. In business also, competition is fierce. And you got to push. But when you reach this stage of aggression and competitiveness, there's a certain point where it's not necessary any longer and you could coast. But once you're in that aggressive mode, you may not be able to shift gears. And one may exert oneself even though it's no longer necessary. Like driving long distances in a more powerful gear and it's going to burn out. If you work very hard to get to be a doctor, a dentist, an accountant, a lawyer, or a marketeer to a certain point with extreme intensity, then there's a point where you get burned out if you keep that intensity beyond that. It was meant to adjust to a point where you're familiar with it. And then you move on. Now, it may not apply in the same way in chinuch, where you have to put in your intense energy all the time, but even then it requires a certain level of shikul hadas, how to go about it. He gives another example of what he said pertaining to burnout. He said when his son came back from yeshiva, and there was a roommate that made a chop here. Because of a fire hazard, the boys were not permitted to have an electrical appliances in the dormitory rooms. But with one exception, because they did their own laundry, they were allowed to have a clothes iron, an iron. But what did this roommate do? He was a chacham. He took the iron, turned it upside down, wedged the handle in a closed drawer, and now he has a hot surface. He can make coffee, he can make popcorn, he could toast things. I know you ask your shayla about the tefillah of these things, whatever. But real chachma, right? So then why do you need heat-producing appliances? Just use a clothes iron to make your toast. The answer is because the heat of the clothes iron is produced with a delicate metal filament that turns red hot when an electric current is passed through it. And if the iron is used only for what it was intended to be an iron, it has a normal life expectancy. If, however, in addition to ironing clothes, it's used as a coffee maker or a toaster or a popcorn maker or a griddle, the filament will burn out on a relatively short period of time because it wasn't designed to carry that extra load of providing so many hours of heat. And the filament can't take it and they'll burn out. You have a similar situation, interesting enough, pertaining to washing machines and dryers. You know, it says their life expectancy of a washing machine is 7 years, is 10 years, even 12 years. But that is when they're selling you this, they're putting it with a family of maybe one person, two people, an American family that has 2.3 kids. By the way, I always wondered that 0.3 kid, you know, what exactly, where that 0.3 kid is running all over the place. But the bottom line is they didn't put it as a design of a Jewish mishpacha, Kanai Nahara, that many of them have 5 kids, 6 kids, and plus more, and the laundry is constantly going like 24/7, then even though the washing machine says that the life expectancy is 7 and 10 years, and it breaks down after 2-3 years, it gets worn out and you have problems with it, and you're wondering what's going on, the warranty or whatever it is, it says it should last longer. That's why, though. It wasn't designed for that. And that is a concept of burnout. Everything has a purpose, and when it's used for the purpose, it has a normal life expectancy. But when there's an unrealistic expectation, excess demand, then it burns out. We're going to continue, Bezalel Hashem, discussing the subject in the upcoming share.